Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Fridge Air Purifier. Extend the life of your food and get rid of those bad odors for good. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and save $10 with code HOWIEFRESH.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I'm very excited about my next guest. Ben Weingarten is a writer for Newsweek, a columnist for Newsweek. He's a senior contributor for The Federalist. He also has a book on Amazon that you can purchase, American Ingrate. He's incredibly talented, and he's been on this topic about big tech censorship and also this domestic terrorism, this extremism that the Biden administration keeps pushing. Ben, thank you very much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Grace, it's always a pleasure, and thanks so much for that kind introduction.
Well, Ben, I read your piece today. I was a little late on it, and one of the quotes here from C.S. Lewis really stuck out at me because I keep thinking about it, especially right now. A tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. Can you explain, because I understand what you mean in regards to what happened at the Capitol, but over the last couple days, we're seeing this again with talks of masking and lockdowns. So explain to people why you chose that quote for right now.
Yeah, I think it perfectly captures the spirit of this age we're living in. And for a long time, there's been this idea that started in the academy and now it's spread into every other aspect of society that, for example, certain speech is hateful speech, and that constitutes violence. And it requires, of course, then criminalizing certain speech that you disagree with. And this is, of course, completely inconsistent with the American understanding of speech, with the First Amendment, and really with being in a free and open liberal society. And now what we've seen is this metastasized to the point where the Biden administration, and this is on a whole slew of issues, and I connect in this piece in Newsweek, the administration's pushing big tech to target and censor accounts with respect to so-called coronavirus misinformation, as however the administration defines that at a given point in time, with the much broader effort under the guise of national security instead of public health and safety, but under national security to police misinformation and disinformation about a whole host of issues that the administration claims threaten our national security. And of course, they point to election fraud, disinformation in context of their countering domestic terrorism strategy. But even prior to that, the national security apparatus put out a bulletin late in January, talking about the fact that COVID disinformation has been linked to domestic violent extremism as well. So what I see at the highest level is the administration seeking to target, smear, censor, and chill narratives that conflict with its agenda under the guise of health and public safety and national security. And that's why this quote about a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive, I think, is so apt for this moment.
I totally agree. And I keep seeing this with, you know, Biden supporters or even politicians who really keep claiming that they're looking out for our best interests. And yet at the same time, you hear comments from Joe Biden where he insults the intelligence of people who don't want to get the vaccine. And there's this real disdain for this half of the country that did not vote for Joe Biden. And yet, like you point out, it's all under this idea that we are looking out for your health. We care about your safety. You don't want to be a grandma killer. And it kind of really plays on people's guilt and people's weakness of their minds to say, oh, I have to do what they're telling me to do because they only want what's best for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, in recent days, there's been this massive push to say essentially that the conservative portion of the half of the country that hasn't been vaccinated, which is, you know, maybe a plurality, but we don't really have the numbers to show But of course, it's not just conservatives. It's also people from all walks of life who have questions about the vaccine or for whatever reason don't feel comfortable taking it. There's this press to say conservatives want to kill people. And there was actually, if you go back, a New York Times headline several months back where they said far-right extremists, and I'm paraphrasing here, move from stop the steal to COVID vaccine disinformation. And I think that perfectly captured this idea of scapegoating and smearing the half the country that doesn't agree with the administration on a whole slew of policies as being dangerous, violent extremists, domestic terrorists, or worse, to the extent they don't go along with what the administration says on a whole slew of issues beyond the coronavirus, too. If you won't go along with the effort to federalize our elections under HR1/S1 and make all of the extraordinary measures that undermined election integrity in 2020 the permanent law of the land at the federal level, then you're on the level of supporting Jim Crow. You're at the level of being the Confederacy. That kind of hysterical rhetoric speaks to the fact that they are straining to make the case that anyone who disagrees with them is dangerous, obviously racist and bigoted, and potentially violent as well, constituting a threat to the country, which demands a whole of government response to them. And that's not hyperbole. That's what the documents and the rhetoric and the actions of the administration are clearly pointing towards today.
I'm speaking with Ben Weingarten from Newsweek and from The Federalist. And Ben, you have been on top of this first of its kind national strategy for countering domestic terrorism. And as I watched the January 6th hearings yesterday, which were just a complete sham, I mean, complete with the tears and the, you know, sad monologues, I thought of you because you kept making this point that they're attacking these people so much who went into the Capitol, but they seem to let other things go, but there's this hyper focus on it. And like you said, they want to have this idea that the people who rioted at the Capitol represent everyone. And I remember reading from a Democrat politician who said, I couldn't believe that after what we saw at the Capitol, hours later, the Republicans still came in and voted against certifying the election. And I thought, well, those two things don't have to do with one another. Just because there was a riot doesn't mean you have to change your politics or what you really believe. But you've been on top of this since the beginning and how dangerous this national strategy for countering domestic terrorism really is. Can you kind of explain to my audience why from the beginning you were so against this?
Yeah, I appreciate that. And people who are looking at this from an intellectually honest perspective from all sides of the spectrum, like a Glenn Greenwald, for example, also have been raising the alarms about the fact that essentially the government's threatened to, and now in this national strategy for countering domestic terrorism, have codified the idea of turning the global war on terror inward towards the American so-called domestic terror threat. And I've seen from the start, and this is even before the so-called insurrection on January 6th, the Capitol riot, and that language, of course, is itself points to this, that there's an effort to make essentially whatever the ruling class terms, right-wing extremist, white supremacist, which, of course, they conflate with conservative to try to smear conservatives, into the greatest domestic terror threat. They've never backed it with any empirical evidence. You know, they may point to some studies, and the studies oftentimes cook the books in terms of the numbers involved to try to make their case. But they've used January 6th as the seminal data point to indicate that this threat is somehow worse than the threat of Islamic supremacists or probably even China to some extent. And consequently, they have to strain at every single turn to make the case that the people at January 6th who engaged in the worst possible acts are representative, as you said, of up to half the country, and consequently that they ought to use the full powers of the government to threaten that half of the country, again, under the guise of national security. And so, you know, what does that strategy codify ultimately? It says that however they define it, anti-government, so-called, which of course means critics of the progressives in power, and other domestic extremists, so-called, that of course they conflate with conservatism and those who participated on January 6th, they say that they even need to go to dealing with the root underlying causes of countering that threat. They claim that threat is rooted primarily in racism, which, of course, the left equates with anything that isn't leftism. And so consequently, there needs to be an effort by the government to counter disinformation and misinformation about a whole host of topics, to ram through their so-called equity as opposed to equality agenda, and all under the guise of countering the greatest threat, which is racism as the root of domestic terrorism, which they, of course, claim is associated with conservatives in this country broadly. And that's how you get to codifying a war on wrong thinkers in this country, anyone who dares break from the progressive orthodoxy. And that poses a massive danger when you're talking about the U.S. government getting into what information people share, their political views, who they associate with, and all manner of things that have nothing to do with presenting a threat to the country. But now there's an effort to present conservatism itself as a threat to the country, and I think it's being made very clear day by day as we proceed down the road with this administration.
Ben, I have one last question for you. You write a lot about the Biden administration, you know, the Ministry of Truth, Jen Psaki. I'd be curious to hear your opinion. How much responsibility do you think the media has here? Do they have any accountability for pushing this panic, for really echoing whatever Joe Biden says? If he says it's the worst thing since the Civil War, they're right there with him. There doesn't seem to be any mea culpas when they make mistakes. They just keep coming out and putting people on these pedestals and allowing them to spread this garbage day in and day out. Do you think that they're as responsible as these actual politicians?
I think that there's almost no distinction at this point between most of the press corps and the administration they're supposed to cover without favor. And consequently, yeah, there's absolutely a response to it, which is essentially one information operation after another being foisted on the people, because the journalist class has essentially said they've given up the pretense of being trying to be objective and even-handed and presenting both sides of the story. They've essentially said Lester Holt, even recently Chuck Todd in an interview, and many others as well, have essentially said, look, there really aren't two equivalent sides to the story here. There's truth, which is whatever we define it to be, and there's our agenda, which is the same agenda directionally as the administration, in some cases even more radical than the administration wants to go, because the administration has some political constraints. But the notion of, for example, blowing up the filibuster, the press has been campaigning for that for months, essentially. And you see the administration even following the press to some extent there. So absolutely, they're all part of the same team, and they're all messaging the same message, which is we have to ram through our agenda, and we have to do it right now, at least while we still have the House.
Absolutely. Ben Weingarten, thank you so much for coming on the show. Everyone can find his stuff at Newsweek, at The Federalist. Ben, where can people follow you on Twitter, and where can they buy your book?
Yep, you can follow me on Twitter at BH Weingarten, and that book, American Ingrate, is available on Amazon and elsewhere, and I encourage you to subscribe to my newsletter at weingarten.substack.com.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining the show. We hope to have Ben on again soon. He's always great. His pieces are phenomenal. They're very easy to follow, but very informative. I recommend everyone check them out. I'll tweet out some of these articles today so you guys can join me in reading them. The frenzied real estate market is causing bidding wars across certain segments. Real estate brokers are holding calls for highest and best offers because demand is so high. How do you as a seller know if you've realized all of the money for your property and if you've sold under the best terms? Well, when selling real estate, let the bidding war experts for over 45 years sell your property quickly, contingency-free, and for true market value. Recent real estate auctions for Grace Curley listeners have attracted as many as 30 qualified cash-ready buyers battling for their properties. At the end of your auction, you will know that no money was left on the table. Remember, when you sell your real estate in the usual way with a broker, you pay the commission. But in a J.J. Manning auction, the buyer pays. This is the key. It saves you right there. It saves you, the seller, thousands of dollars. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more on how to get your property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Again, that's Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. We will be back with more of your calls and some updates on everything from Hunter Biden to Barbara Boxer to Simone Biles. We got it all. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the whiskey priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
It's not happening this time, I don't think, based off what I'm seeing on the interwebs. Which, of course, don't tell you the whole story, but every once in a while you get a nice video that puts things into context and restores your faith in, I don't want to say in humanity, in people being normal and people being with it and people understanding numbers. And that's what we have here. This is a man, a young guy in San Diego who got up. Now, Jared, this must be brand new. It must have happened either yesterday or today. And he's talking about the propaganda. I love every single part of this video. I might stop it a couple times, but I want to play the entire thing, Jared, from the very beginning. I like that he brings up North Korea. This is someone who is not following hashtag the science.
Good morning, supervisors. Thank you for being here, listening to us. Before I go further, though, I'd like to address Ms. Wilma Wooten and that propaganda that you were sharing. This is not factual. We've actually, being that we are not Cuba yet or North Korea, we still have access to the internet. And it's beautiful because your department has done a fantastic job of documenting the deaths in this county. So what I've done is taken that information which you've provided to ensure that I'm an informed citizen and I know when you're lying. So here we go. April 2021, there were 147 people who died in this county. Whatever the positive tests say with this PCR test, which we know to be unscientific and be used at 45 thresholds, which makes these positive tests false positives. We know this, and we also know that 147 people died in this county in the month of May. April. So let's go to May. How many people died in May? Ms. Wilma Wooten was talking about how all these people are dying. 54. We had 54 deaths in the county of San Diego. I don't care about the positives because obviously the PCR test is bunk and we know that. So let's go back to the deaths because that's hard evidence that we can use. In the month of June, how many deaths did we have, Nathan Fletcher? 80. How many residents are in this county? 3 million? 3.3 million residents in this county, and we're using propaganda that Wilma Wooten is using from the PCR test that we know that has been tested to be bunk because we've had 80 people die in this county. How many rights are we going to take away before we look at the facts? We know what you're trying to do. There are good supervisors up here that are trying to fight for freedom like the Constitution, but where are the rest of you? Why are you silencing people and using this jargon to scare us into submission? When are you going to speak the truth, Wilma? We're calling you out because we, the citizens of America, are tired of these lies. We get lied to regularly. We're used to these lies. Who's going to stand up for the truth?
Amen. Give that guy a Profiles and Curly Award. Damn it. Great job. And he used their own numbers. And he's going to, I'm sure Joe Biden's going to be knocking on his door at any second and telling him to get into wrongthink jail. And Jen Psaki's going to say, we're going to have to label you as, you know, an extremist, violent, white supremacist because that just was too much, too many facts in too little time. No, really, though, good for that man. We need more of that. We need more people standing up and saying enough is enough. We're not doing this anymore. We're not doing it. We have a lot more to get to today. I really, really want to play Dr. Fauci flip-flopping, but I don't think I'm going to have enough time in this segment, so I'll save it for the next one. But I have to point out something else, because you talked about the PCR test. The testing, I know I say this a lot. I read this today. It's from the Financial Times. It says, despite a rise in vaccinations, COVID-19 cases are surging. Why are fully vaccinated people still testing positive for the virus? I have what I think is a more prudent question. Why are fully vaccinated people getting tested? I know there's a scientific Dr. Fauci explanation. It's to make sure that if you have COVID, you don't keep the spread of the droplets going. But really, at a certain point, how are we going to move on with our lives? Are there people out there? I'm curious. Are there people out there who are obsessed with going into the pharmacies and getting these tests constantly? Most of the time, if you're fully vaccinated, they say that the symptoms are a mild cold. It's really strange. I'm really glad that guy pointed out the numbers. We're going to try to get him on the show. It's absolutely insane. It's just completely bonkers. That's what we've come to expect. We'll be talking about Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi, COVID, Barbara Boxer, and much more on the other side. And Tom Shattuck at 2:05. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
339 says, Grace, talk about Nancy Pelosi. She's been using January 6th to target Trump supporters and needs to be called out. Well, 339, you just gave me the perfect reason to do our poll question.
What's that about?
Today's poll question is brought to you by Exit Realty. With over 25 locations in New England, they have you covered. To learn more about their innovative technology that gets your house sold, go to exitrealty.com/New England. All right, now we're going to devote a little bit of time to this poll question now because I think it's a good one. It came to me last minute, if I do say so myself, but I think it's strong. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who is the worst California politician? Dianne Feinstein, Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, Eric Swalwell, or Kamala Harris?
See, I'm getting some complaints about this on the text line. By the way, if you ever want to chime in, it's 635-66. You just start with the word curly. And people are saying that this is the scariest poll question they've ever heard. They can't believe that this is what California actually has as politicians. Hey, I mean, they're the best. They're the number one when it comes to complete Looney Tunes. And obviously, Nancy Pelosi, she is the most well-known. She's Speaker of the House. She's always around, whether she's getting set up at the hair salon or she's, you know, walking through with her impeaching Donald Trump with her minions following behind, handing out gold pens. She's got a lot of publicity as far as the Democrats go. And this is what she said yesterday about masks requirements. Cut 24.
The chair wishes to inform all members and staff that masks will once again be required in the hall of the House. However, members will be permitted to remove their mask temporarily while under recognition. To be clear, members and staff must wear masks in the hall of the House at all times except when a member may remove his or her mask when recognized by the chair. In addition, members presiding as chair may remove their mask when speaking.
It's all such a farce. Like, here's a question, Pelosi. What if they go to a hair salon in San Francisco? Do they have to wear their mask there? What about when you go to those little parties, those little award ceremonies? You're hugging everybody. She's such a fraud. And it's so insanely stupid to do this. And she's so excited because I think her mask costs like hundreds of dollars. They always look like they're designer masks. And she's so excited about this to bring this back. She's my number one. But don't forget about Gavin Newsom. On top of the fact that Governor Gavin Newsom, who, by the way, if you haven't heard, he's in the middle of a recall. He has officially pulled his kids out of a basketball camp after maskless photos emerge. This is just like the French Laundry. California Governor Gavin Newsom has withdrawn two of his children from a summer basketball camp after it was reported that the camp was not enforcing mask mandates and was allowing, are you ready for this, Jared? You got to get the dun-dun-dun ready. Was allowing children to play sports without masks. A group of activists who oppose Newsom's coronavirus restrictions tweeted about the maskless camp on Monday. Hashtag breaking. Photos posted to Instagram reveal Gavin Newsom's 10-year-old son with other kids maskless indoors and not distancing at a basketball summer camp even while spectating. This is in clear violation of his own mask mandate. Why can his kids be maskless but not ours? It's a great question, and his response is so pathetic. Well, this was the statement that was put out by their spokesperson. The Newsoms were concerned to see unvaccinated children unmasked indoors at a camp their children began attending yesterday, and after seeing this, removed the kids from the camp. The family reviewed communication from the camp and realized that an email was missed saying the camp would not enforce masking guidance. their kids will no longer be attending the camp.
Ah, the old missed email excuse. Classic.
There was a glitch in the system. And then to top it off, Gavin Newsom also says ridiculously dumb things like cut one.
Look, we don't even have to have that debate if we can just get everybody vaccinated that's not vaccinated, that's refusing to get vaccinated, that's living vaccine-free and impacting the rest of us. It's like drunk drivers. You don't have the right to go out and drink and drive and put everybody else at risk, including your own life at risk.
Wait, but I thought that the vaccines were supposed to not, we're not putting anyone at risk anymore. The vaccines are supposed to protect you. But again, the science changed, I understand. Now, of course, you have Governor Gavin Newsom, you have Speaker Pelosi. They have some connection. They're connected through marriage.
He is a step-son-in-law or something like that through marriage.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Let's have a nice, let's split a pint of Jenny's ice cream in honor of that. But then there's another person who I almost forgot about. Jared put this woman on the list. Vice President Kamala Harris. Now, she... when you think about power-wise, she's has the biggest position out of all of these politicians. So she could take the cake on this. Let's do Kamala Harris talking about why now we have to wear masks again, even if you're vaccinated, cut 25.
None of us like wearing masks. People need to get vaccinated. People need to get vaccinated. It will save their life. This virus is no joke. The people who are in hospitals today with COVID-19, the vast majority of them have been unvaccinated. When you look at the people who are dying right now from COVID-19, almost none of them have been vaccinated.
Then why are vaccinated people having to wear masks? You're literally contradicting yourself. And Jared, can we replay that from the beginning? Because I have an issue with the first sentence out of her mouth.
None of us like wearing masks.
Ah, challenge. I'm throwing a big challenge flag on that. I think a lot of people like wearing them. And it really concerns me how much people enjoy wearing them. It really concerns me that when I was in Swellesley yesterday running some errands, how many people were quick to throw their masks back on and happy to do it. They were thrilled at the opportunity to go back to their glove department and pick out a fresh, brand new mask. And before they put it on their faces, they leaned in and they whispered, "I've missed you.
My mask says hate has no home here."
Ugh. I mean, she has some real nerve. Now, speaking of California, so what I'm going to vote is, I know Swalwell's on the list. I don't have any pertinent sound for Swalwell today. I don't think he farted on any national television shows. I'm going to vote for, am I forgetting someone?
Just Maxine and Diane.
Maxine Waters, but yeah, they're a little bit less relevant. I'm going to vote for Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi is in the lead at 53%. Second place goes to Maxine Waters at 23%.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
781 just brought up Adam Schiff. I totally forgot he was from California.
Oh,
the state is,
man,
so big.
Jared, we might have to add him in as a late entry, see if he can pull up from behind here.
He's the only one that I've seen not be able to fake cry. And also actually cry, so.
Yeah, he's bad. I mean, I think yesterday's performance might push him over the edge. He might win Best Actor.
At least with the mask mandate, you won't have to see his trembling lip anymore at the next commission of the 1-6 crew or whatever.
Speaking of California, you heard about what happened to Barbara Boxer. We reported on this yesterday. The former senator was attacked in Oakland. She said she was, you know, very surprised. And Donald Trump actually made a statement about this, and he said once great cities are becoming a paradise for criminals because of Democrats. Well, and again, I will never, ever, ever be one of those people who celebrates someone being hurt or, you know, robbed or whatever, mugged. But, you know, Democrats do that. That's their thing. I don't want to take their thing away from them. They really enjoy seeing Rand Paul's ribs broken or, you know, anything like that. But it is interesting because even the old expression is a Republican is a Democrat who's been mugged. But that doesn't really add up anymore because these people are so entrenched. They're so devoted to their agenda, their stupid agenda that's not working. What does Joe say? The proof is in the pudding, is in the eating. I wipe my butt. Well, it's not working. None of this is working. And Barbara Boxer is a perfect example. But guess what? She still won't cop to it. She will not back down. So she was on with Erin Burnett, who I did not know was still on the air. And Burnett asked her what she would. So this is what she says. Former President Trump has a horrible record of when he was president. The murder rate went way up. Crimes with guns went way up. And hate crimes, fake hate crimes, went up 20%. Could Jussie Smollett be reached for comment on that one? So he has literally no standing. That's what she said. Erin Burnett then asked her what she would do to reduce crime in the city, where homicides have increased 69% year on year, assaults with a gun are up to 58%, and robberies are up 14%. Oakland has voted to defund the police to the tune of $18 million, with the money being spent instead on mental health and other policies. And her response, I feel we need more money for community policing. We need more officers on the street. We need them to be from the community, by the community, for the community. You've got to make relationships with these young people. And also, she said that she also wanted to see sensible gun laws brought in. What could possibly go wrong? These Democrats, they never, ever learn. You know, it's years and years and years of drinking the Kool-Aid. There's absolutely nothing that's going to change how they feel. Now, of course, when we talk about these Democrats, California, we talk about Nancy Pelosi, and she did just say that masks are back. And I just want to comment on something, because I've been wanting to play this cut all day. Dr. Fauci's back. Like, he took a little bit of a break. You know, Rand Paul pushed him on his heels a bit with the whole gain of function situation, which he kind of admits to, but also says Rand's lying and we don't understand the meaning of gain of function. You know, he can say whatever he wants. There's no repercussions. But he's back on the morning shows because, as he mentioned, he's included in these meetings, these really exclusive, see how much we can ruin American lives meetings. And he was explaining the change in guidelines, and he has a problem with us conservatives who think that the CDC has flip-flopped, because he doesn't see that as the case. Let's play cut 10.
Oh, 60 days ago, the CDC came out with the recommendation that individuals who are vaccinated do not need to wear masks indoors or outdoors. Something has changed, and what has changed is the virus. The CDC hasn't changed, and the CDC hasn't really flip-flopped at all.
You notice how often now they play the science card? Like, science is carte blanche. You can do whatever you want if you say, well, it's the science. You know, Dr. Fauci can get away with murder. Not that's a little bit hyperbolic, but Dr. Fauci could get away with anything, and he could just say it's the science.
Science is real.
So he says we did not flip-flop on the masks. And to that I say, let's roll tape. Let's go to the montage, cut 12.
People should not be walking around with masks. Let me just state for the record that masks are not theater. Wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better. And masks are protective. But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
There has not been any indication that putting a mask on and wearing a mask for a considerable period of time has any deleterious effects.
There are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course.
You do not need to wear a mask indoors if, in fact, you've been vaccinated. Good that you're vaccinated, but in a situation where you have people indoors, particularly crowded, you should wear a mask.
So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask. If, in fact, you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you are protected, and you do not need to wear a mask outdoors or indoors.
Hold on.
When the children go out in...
I just checked in with my source at Snopes. This video has been highly taken out of context. All of Fauci's words are being misinterpreted, and this is partially false. And verdict is... too close to call if he's a flip-flopper. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk about Greta Thunberg and a doctor who was on CNBC. I can't even believe this. I got to hear the cut for myself. But he's actually thinking this Delta variant that everyone's, you know, freaking out about, hyperventilating about, that it might not be around for as long as we're thinking. There might be no need for the models and the charts. Because this thing might go away faster than we all think. We'll play that on the other side and a lot more. We've got Tom Shattuck at 2:05. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show.
Howie.
Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
The facts are with science. The facts are with science. Science is real.
The science is real, according to Democrats. Science, not so much. So this is interesting. Former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb was on CNBC this morning, and he had something to say about the Delta variant that you're not going to hear anywhere. I'm actually shocked that CNBC didn't just cut the feed completely. Let's play cut 14.
I don't think that we're going to get enough bang for our buck by telling vaccinated people they have to wear masks at all times to make it worth our while. I think we're further into this Delta wave than we're picking up. I've been saying that for weeks. I think, you know, in another 2 or 3 weeks, we'll be through this. This new guidance will have a negligible impact on that. I think much more prudent guidance to people would be that if you're vaccinated, you're in a high prevalence area, you're in contact with the virus, you think you might have the virus because you have mild symptoms of it, be prudent, get tested, maybe wear a mask, especially if you're around a vulnerable person. That should be the bottom line guidance we give. Right. CDC, I think, is having a challenge measuring this right now.
Now, there's interesting things happening as far as this decision to reverse the mask mandate. And I don't claim to be a doctor. Everybody knows that. And a lot of this stuff is new to all of us. I mean, a year
if
and a half ago.
If Joe Biden can be a doctor, you can be a doctor, Grace.
Thank you, Jared. See, that's the kind of supportive producer you need. But this is an interesting point. The below citation. All right. So I'm reading now. This is Alicia Smith. She tweeted this out and she said the below citation would suggest that the CDC's assertion yesterday that they have data showing vaccinated individuals can transmit Delta variant due to similar viral load as unvaccinated is partially based off a model using non-US approved vaccines. Now, viral load, I guess, Jared, and you might know more about this than I do, is the amount of transmissibility you have in your blood via if you got the vaccine. I think that's what it is. It says here, viral load refers to the amount of virus in an infected person's blood. This is expressed as the number of viral particles in each millimeter of blood. Higher viral load can have different implications for different viruses. So now this is what Representative Peter Major writes, and he's been on CNN before, but as Stephen Miller pointed out, probably the last time that's going to happen. The CDC's reversal on viral load among breakthrough vaccinated cases is based on an Indian study involving those with a non-US approved vaccine. Mask mandates coming back based on research that's inapplicable from the get-go. This is J&J pause level incompetence. That's when they decided after a few cases of bad effects from the J&J to put it on pause. And I just want to say, this is something I'm noticing because I read a story yesterday about how someone died after a wedding in Texas. And once I actually read the story and got to the bottom of it, it said all the people were vaccinated and one of them died. So six people got COVID. All of them were vaccinated. One of them died. The one who died had a vaccination from India. It wasn't even the U.S. vaccination. So there's a lot of misinformation, to quote Joe Biden, that's happening here. We'll be right back with Tom Shattuck. It's the Grace Curley Show.